Item 16, TMDLs for fecal coliform in the Pajaro River watershed. Mr. Briggs.
Thank you. You just mentioned the title of this item, which will, once the board takes action on it, serve to amend the our water quality control plan, our basin plan, to include this total maximum daily load for the Pajaro watershed, and to include two discharge prohibitions for human fecal material and another for domestic animal waste. And this morning, making our presentation for item 16 is Pete Osmolowski of our staff.
Good morning. I think we're just waiting for the slides to project. Okay, there we go. Good morning. This is agenda item number 16, proposed basin plan amendments for fecal coliform in the Pajaro watershed. My name is Pete Osmolowski. I'm with the Watershed Assessment Unit. I'll be making the presentation today. I'd also like to recognize the significant assistance of staff scientist Larry Harlan in developing the project report. By the way, this is an aerial photo from the Army Corps of Engineers of the Pajaro River. Here's my arrow here showing it. It's near Watsonville. This is Watsonville here. Highway 1 is down here. And actually, where we are at City Hall, I believe this is Main Street here, so we are approximately here in City Hall. Our recommendation is to adopt the proposed resolution with the changes in the supplemental sheet. There's three proposed additions to the basin plan: total maximum daily loads and implementation plan for fecal coliform, a domestic animal waste discharge prohibition, and a human fecal material discharge prohibition. Several streams in the Pajaro watershed were listed in 1998 due to excessive fecal indicator bacteria levels, FIBs. Those are things like fecal coliform and E. coli that are used as indicators for the potential presence of pathogens in the water column. Subsequent monitoring since then did not appear to show any pattern of improving water quality since the late 1990s, and this indicated that TMDL development was merited. Impairments were asserted based on the numeric FIB indicator bacteria water quality objectives in our Central Coast Basin Plan for water contact recreation. I'd like to direct your attention first to the inset in the upper right, showing the location of the Pajaro River watershed. Now, on the map itself, the dark black line is an outline of the watershed. It's over 1,200 square miles in aerial extent. The red lines indicate the impaired stream reaches. And for reference, annotated in yellow are some of the major communities in the watershed. Annotated in blue are the two main rivers in the watershed, the Pajaro River here, San Benito River here. Now, the table on the left side of this slide shows all of the identified impaired water bodies. In the first column are the major impaired water bodies: Pajaro River, San Benito River, Yagas Creek, Tequesquita Slough. In the second column are the identified respective impaired tributaries. And for illustrative purposes, the box on the right shows some photos of some of the impaired stream reaches: Pajaro River at Chittenden, San Benito River at Willow Creek, and Yagas Creek near Gilroy. And just for geographic reference, I'm going to back up real quick and show you where those three locations are. Right about here is Pajaro, our monitoring site at Pajaro at Chittenden. San Benito at River at Willow Creek's approximately here. and Yagas Creek at Gilroy is up here. We identified four broad source categories of fecal coliform impairment: storm sewer discharges from communities that are required to be covered by an NPDES permit, also known as MS4 entities; domestic animal discharges from cattle, livestock, and farm animals; sewage spills and leaks from sanitary sewer systems and also from private laterals; and also natural non-controllable sources of fecal coliform loads. This is an aerial photo looking to the northeast. It's of the Pajaro River estuary here at Monterey Bay. In the background to the northeast is the city of Watsonville. And in the foreground here is Madowski State Beach in the foreground. Our proposed TMDL is it's a concentration-based TMDL. The total maximum daily load is equal to the basin plan water quality objective, and more on the water quality objective in the next slide. Simply put, in order to meet the TMDL, it is simply necessary to assure that all source loads, at a minimum, achieve the water quality objective. That's it in a nutshell. All sources meet the water quality objective, and you meet the TMDL. Now, this is our water quality objective for bacteria from the basin plan for water contact recreation. I'm not going to read the whole thing, but the most important thing to note about it is there's two numeric criteria within that water quality objective. One is a 30-day geometric mean limit, not to exceed 200 counts, and also not more than 10% of samples may exceed 400 counts. So that's our numeric water quality objective for fecal coliform bacteria. Now, the allocations that are assigned to the various sources are shown in this table. Source categories are in the first column and the allocation in the second column. With one exception, all of the source categories are assigned an allocation equal to that basin plan water quality objective I just showed you. The one exception is sewage spills and leaks. Human fecal material is considered the highest pathogenic risk, so it is assigned an allocation of zero. In other words, no discharge allowed. It's also important to note down here in highlighted in yellow, if I can get my arrow to work there, responsible parties are not responsible for the natural non-controllable sources allocation. Simply put, this means responsible parties are not required to reduce loads from non-controllable natural sources. So that's important to note. This slide highlights the regulatory mechanisms that are proposed to achieve the TMDL. Again, we do have two proposed prohibitions, both of which require basin plan amendments: a domestic animal waste discharge prohibition and a human fecal material discharge prohibition. Also, existing permits in the watershed can be utilized to achieve this TMDL. And I have some more detail on the regulatory mechanisms in the next slide. This table shows in the first column the source category, responsible party in the second column, and in the third column the proposed regulatory mechanism needed to or used utilized to achieve the TMDL. In this first row here, the MS4 entities, the urban stormwater entities, we propose that they will address fecal coliform discharges through their existing NPDES permits. Sanitation districts will address fecal coliform loads, we propose, through their current waste discharge requirements. Owners and operators of private sewer laterals will be subject to compliance with the proposed human fecal material discharge prohibition. And owners and operators of lands containing domestic animals would be subject to compliance with the proposed domestic animal waste discharge prohibition. I'm not going to read the entire laundry list of responsible parties here, but I'm going to show them to you. The cities, counties, sanitation jurisdictions, owners and operators of laterals, owners and operators of lands with domestic animals. We did receive a substantial number of public comments. There were 65 comments from 11 different organizations and individuals that are shown in this slide here. The responses and comments are contained in Attachment 6 of the staff report. We responded to each comment and indicated if or how we changed the draft documentation to address that comment. Now, I've got a couple slides that are going to outline the nature and scope of the public comments we received, but because of the quantity of comments we received, staff is relying on the full description of the comments and responses that are contained in Attachment 6 of the staff report. Broadly speaking, comments fell within four broad categories: comments of a technical nature, comments pertaining to economics and compliance costs, comments pertaining to legal issues, and comments pertaining to implementation. In the next slide, I will outline a couple of the main recurring comments that the public gave to us to give you an idea of what that was all about. Many commenters said our fecal coliform numeric targets were inappropriate and that the TMDL should not be adopted until the basin plan had been amended with US EPA-recommended E. coli numeric targets. Now, staff acknowledges that US EPA does recommend US EPA E. coli numeric targets as the preferred pathogen indicator. However, staff maintains that the use of fecal coliform numeric targets in the proposed TMDL is appropriate primarily for two reasons. One, the Central Coast Basin Plan does require compliance with a fecal coliform water quality objective. And two, staff in consultation with several other scientists, they concurred that the use of fecal indicator bacteria was reasonable in this proposed TMDL. Also, many commenters said that the TMDL does not conform to Section 13241 and Section 13000 of the Water Code because it did not fully consider an appropriate range of economic and environmental conditions. Staff consulted with legal counsel on this. Legal counsel maintains that the proposed TMDL is in compliance with the requirements of Section 13241 and Section 13000 of the Water Code. Beginning to wrap up here, I did want to show one data slide to illustrate and drive home the scope and extent of the bacteria impairment in this watershed. This graph on the horizontal axis shows the monitoring sites. The vertical axis is fecal coliform concentration. The two red lines are representative of our numeric targets from that water quality objective I showed you. The solid red line is 400 counts. And the dashed red line is 200 counts. The dark vertical bars represent geometric means of the monitoring data, so that's an aggregate. The light bars represent the observed maximum observed concentration. The takeaway message from this slide is that impairment is significant and widespread. The basin plan numeric targets are relatively commonly or routinely exceeded. That's the takeaway message. Finally, we do recommend adoption of the proposed resolution and changes in the supplemental sheet for total maximum daily loads and implementation plan for fecal coliform, a proposed domestic animal waste discharge prohibition, and a human fecal material discharge prohibition. Adoption of these proposed amendments could potentially address a significant bacteria impairment problem in multiple stream bodies in one of the larger watersheds in the Central Coast region. The compliance time schedule for the TMDL is 13 years. Staff anticipates that measures to reduce bacteria loads could potentially achieve this TMDL within that time frame. In the event that natural background or natural non-controllable sources are causing some of the impairments, the board may revisit this TMDL and adopt site-specific water quality objectives. And that's all, and be happy to answer any questions.
Any board comments or questions? Mr. Hayashi.
Can you give me, just for clarification, a definition of a domestic animal discharge?
In our proposal, domestic animals are things like cattle, livestock, farm animals that you might find typically on hobby farms and hobby ranches. Those types of animals, if they're on lands or properties that do not drain to MS4 entities, that are not draining to urban stormwater entries. So there's typically either rural areas or in area properties that do not drain to MS4s.
You're saying that these are hobbies, and they're not commercial operations?
There's, from what I understand, there's typically in this watershed, there are commercial operations, but they're smaller so-called hobby farms and hobby ranches that are evidently, you know, not of a large-scale commercial nature.
How many?
Yeah, we're referring to both the commercial operations and smaller, you know, hobby farm-type operations. So the livestock and farm animals that are associated with those types of operations
are the same. Will be considered the same.
Yes, that's correct.
Mr. Shallcross.
Yeah, just a point of clarification. On when you say discharge, are you talking about a discharge to a water body? In the prohibitions?
Discharge to water bodies, yes.
Okay. Would that include, well, how about discharge to land and then, you know, that, then rain comes and,
I mean, yeah, that would be considered a discharge to water body. The thing to note about the domestic animal waste discharge requirement is it does not require that all cattle feces be controlled. To demonstrate compliance with the prohibition, it's simply necessary to assure that discharges meet their source load allocation, that they're meeting the water quality objective. So there's, you know, I don't want the perception to be out there that, you know, cattle aren't allowed to poop anywhere and you have to control all of it. So, yeah, that's a good question.
But how would an individual farm know then what they're supposed to do? I mean, how could they compute what their allocation load is? And
well, there's two options for compliance, and I don't think it's reasonable that an individual rancher or farmer could calculate their allocation. But I think the two options that we have to demonstrate compliance are one, that the discharger may demonstrate that his property or his animals are not causing or contributing to stream impairment or exceedances of the water quality objective. The second option is to submit a plan to the board demonstrating a schedule for compliance for complying with the prohibition. There are various rangeland management practices that can be adopted to reduce fecal material loads to streams from cattle and livestock. But to answer your question directly, I think the individual rancher, you know, would not be expected to measure their exact load contribution and how that's what fraction of the load allocation that contributes to.
But they're essentially all going to have to do something. They're all going to have to start utilizing some BMPs.
Unless that first option where they can demonstrate that their property and their livestock and their site-specific conditions are not causing or contributing to loading or impairment. So there's kind of two tracks. You know, one is to demonstrate that they're in compliance currently and will continue to be because they're not causing impairment or contributing. And the other option is to submit some kind of plan or demonstrate how they will achieve the allocations or limit the impairment.
Okay, could you go backwards? You had a slide. I think it.
Just say one.
I'll call it your allocation slide.
Oh, allocation.
That might even be the.
I think it's back. This is it.
There it is. Okay. You've got. Well, certainly two of them: the domestic animals and the storm drain discharges. The way I look at that, they are utilizing 100% of the allocation. So you'll have to explain to me how that can't be so.
Yeah, I see what you're saying. Now, the thing you have to realize about a concentration-based TMDL is that when the allocations are concentration-based, they are not additive. In other words, you know, if the first row there the does not sum with the second row and then sum with the last row to add up to the total load, because this is not a mass-based load allocation. In a mass-based load allocation, you would sum up the loads to come up with your TMDL. But if I'm understanding your question correctly, in these concentration-based TMDLs, the allocations are not additive with each other to add up to the TMDL.
So any one of those cannot cause an exceedance.
Correct. At a minimum, each source category, at a minimum, has to meet the water quality objective. And since those allocations are not additive, mm-hmm. they do not sum up together to go over the water quality objective.
All right.
So if my cup of water had a fecal coliform count of 200, which I hope it doesn't, and yours was likewise,
right.
we put them in the pitcher.
Right.
It would still be 200 because it's concentration based. It wouldn't be 400.
It's it's a volumetric thing rather than a mass based thing. Yeah, like Roger's saying, the volume of the water increases proportionally to the amount of fecal coliform, so it stays the same.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. And then do we have any E. coli data?
We do have E. coli data. Yes.
How does it look compared to the? Fecal coliform data?
Well, again, we don't, in our basin plan, we don't have a water quality objective for fecal coliform, but E. coli is used.
E. coli.
Yeah, pardon me?
We don't have one for E. coli.
In our basin plan, we don't have one for E. coli.
Right.
But we do use E. coli and US EPA numeric targets to identify impairments or water quality problems. And we did, in fact, in this TMDL, have E. coli data. I don't know if the E. coli data would necessarily track linearly with fecal coliform, but the E. coli data, based on the US EPA numeric criteria, did show exceedances of the US EPA criteria, similar to how the fecal coliform showed exceedances relative to our basin plan. So both E. coli and fecal coliform, based on numeric targets and screening targets, did show widespread and significant impairments throughout the watershed.
Have we utilized E. coli as a standard in any other part of the basin plan for any other watersheds?
I don't believe our basin plan has any numeric criteria for E. coli. What I do understand, and Chris can correct me if I'm wrong, is the State Board is currently looking at revising bacteria indicator standards, which may include E. coli standards, and we ultimately may have to revise our basin plan and this TMDL to reflect those new indicator bacteria standards. Does that sound right, Chris?
Yes, that is correct. There is currently a state effort to revise bacteria standards statewide, which would include the EPA recommended criteria. And once that's done, then our basin plan fecal coliform water quality objective will be superseded by those E. coli criteria, and so would this TMDL.
It'll automatically be superseded?
Yes.
Okay.
Well, that's at least that's what the effort is at this point.
Okay. Mr. Shallcross.
Just a follow-up question. Going back to something that Mr. Young brought up, can you sort of give me an example of how a rancher would show that his animals aren't causing any? I mean, I'm trying to think. I mean, just practically, how would I show that to you?
Well, I think what in our proposed implementation plan, we have a range of management practices that could be adopted. I don't think we're expecting, going back to Mr. Young's question, that ranchers quantitatively measure their load contribution and what fraction of the allocation that is. But like I said, ranchers can, number one, they can either demonstrate to us that their animals and their property are not contributing to a stream impairment or causing.
That's my question. You know, how would I demonstrate to you?
I think probably whether the animals, the most obvious one is whether or not the animals have direct access to streams or water bodies, if they're loafing or if they've got some kind of direct access to water bodies. That'd be the most obvious one. Other site-specific conditions, maybe there are, even if they do have some access, maybe the rancher or the cattleman or the property owner is exercising good rangeland management practices and has certain BMPs in place that would reduce the load, And I think Chris wants to add something too.
Yeah, let me add that. I think this is it's a difficult question to answer, quite frankly. It really is. I mean, there are many people in this watershed, there are many acres that have livestock on them, and we haven't even begun to implement this at this point. We know we have to meet a water quality objective. The water quality objective is under basin planning. We have to meet it. But the way we wrote the prohibition is that the discharges from animals and any other sources can't cause an exceedance of the water quality objective. I mean, I don't think anybody argues with that. We have to do it. It's in our basin plan. And we envision that when we begin implementing this and other TMDLs with this particular source, is that we're going to start in areas where the water quality is such that we see a problem. In other words, that the water quality objectives are not being met. And then we're going to try to figure out what is causing those water quality objectives from not being met. Now, it may be the case that some ranchers, frankly, may allow their cattle to have access to the stream. If there isn't an exceedance of water quality objectives, then according to the prohibition, that isn't a problem. That isn't a problem until such point that the water quality objectives are exceeded. Once it's exceeded, then we're looking for ways to get the water into compliance with our objectives. Now that, if the entire land use, let's just take a hypothetical situation, and if we have a monitoring point and that monitoring point shows continuous exceedance of the water quality objectives and the only land use that is there is grazing and you have animals that have access to the stream, well then it looks like we have something to talk about with the ranchers. I'd like to note, though, that that there is research being done and that we are working with the ranchers in some efforts to demonstrate that it doesn't necessarily mean that we're asking ranchers to install fence for miles along the stream. It's my understanding, and I'm not a rancher, I don't begin to understand everything that they do. They've been doing this for their whole life. But it's my understanding that basically cattle are lazy and that if you can get them away from a stream, that they tend to stay away from a stream. And it doesn't take much riparian vegetation, even grasses, that will uptake not only the nutrients, but also will keep those fecal coliform on site. So what we're trying to say is that we're going to look for real problem areas and where it looks like with this particular source where it's evident that cattle are at least a contributor to the problem, and we're going to try to address it that way.
Okay. Let's back up, though, to that one of the first slides that had the red line, tributaries and rivers, and you say looking for areas of impairment or problems, it's everywhere. So, I mean, are you saying that there's another finer level of detail that you're going to apply in terms of looking at the data within this set?
Okay. Well, actually, Let me qualify that, Pete. If you could point to that point that we're where the red meets the blue line.
Right here.
Okay, so there is an example of the Upper San Benito River, where we obviously had a monitoring point where the line turns red. Now we're assuming, basically, with the data that we have, that anything upstream of that red point, I'm sorry, maybe you can see it on your monitor, we're assuming that anything that occurs upstream of that, that the management practices are such that they're not causing an exceedance of water quality objectives. All right. Now, so there is obviously a monitoring point where that line turns red, but there's probably not another monitoring point for some distance downstream of that. All right. So what we're going to be looking at then is what happens between those two monitoring points. And we're going to kind of have to take it reach by reach like that and see what happens reach by reach. So although that graph shows a lot of different monitoring points, those monitoring points tend to be congregated towards the lower part of the watershed. And frankly, there are a lot of tributaries that are up in the hillsides where there aren't any monitoring points. So to answer your question, we're going to have to take it on a reach-by-reach case, a reach-by-reach basis.
Do we have any dairies in the area?
I'm sorry?
Dairies?
Yes, there were, I don't remember the exact number, there were a small handful of dairies. They were not identified as a source. Staff did field inspections. Staff interviewed our permitting unit for evidence of violations and discharges, and staff interviewed, did field interviews and field inspections, and the best evidence that we've been able to find is that these confined animal facilities, specifically the dairies, are managed in such a way that they are not causing or contributing to this impairment in any significant way. So they were not identified as a source.
Okay. Mr. Hayashi.
Can you do DNA testing? See where that's coming from? The E. coli.
Well, that ribotyping—that's DNA, isn't it? Yeah, there's ribotyping data, not specifically for this watershed, but the answer is yes. You can use ribotyping data to an extent to identify sources of fecal coliform. It's not. My understanding is that it's not quantitative enough to where you can assign specific percentages or specific quantitative load proportions, but you can identify broadly animal types or, human fecal material from that ribotyping testing.
Be able to distinguish between non-controllable and cattle?
With DNA testing? Not that I am aware of. I've never heard of anything like that.
Well, I guess, insofar as you could identify it's possible to identify with ribotyping cattle, livestock, and maybe a wild turkey, and if you assume that a wild turkey is not a controllable animal, then yes.
Like a fox or a mountain lion.
Sure. Yeah.
So you could distinguish beyond within reasonable doubt.
Yeah, you would definitely, with ribotyping, you could definitely distinguish, the wildlife or presumably non-controllable wildlife sources. You wouldn't probably be able to quantify them exactly, their load contribution, but you'd be able to qualitatively identify it, yes.
But that's also quite a bit more expensive.
Yes, it's very much more expensive, and that's why it's not done that. It wasn't done in this watershed, but it's been done in a few watersheds in the Central Coast region.
Well, remember, the county of Santa Barbara did that for the Tahiguas landfill, when there were claims that the landfill was contributing human coliform bacteria to the nearby beach, and it turned out it was the seagulls that had been roosting at that beach that were contributing to that. The ribotesting clearly laid that out.
We've had several different places where we've had DNA testing.
Down at the Rincon also.
Another one.
So, it's doable. And it's a tool that, perhaps could be used. Anyway, any other questions from the board? No? Okay. Briggs?
Cards.
Okay. Right here.
otherwise known as people.
Okay.